Well, hi again. As I said before, I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. I'm finding some victory over alcoholism. I'm still struggling with me being me and not me turning over to God. My name is Jack. So tonight we're going to jump back into our teaching series, but I just want to take a moment to kind of review, bring us up to speed. We start this process with step one, principle one, and I admit I'm not God. Now, I don't know about you, that came as quite a shock to me as I got into recovery that I was not God, but apparently I am not. And so we get that straight. But I realized it was not God. My life was out of control. It was unmanageable. And we look at the denial and the powerless lessons to kind of highlight, kind of laying a clean foundation in which to build our recovery. Then we move into step two and principle two. And in those steps and principles, we came to believe that God not only exists, and once again, you have to remember, for me, as an atheist walking in those doors 8 years ago, that was a big step to admit that God actually exists, and then go beyond that, that he actually had the power to restore me, restore us. And we looked at the hope lesson and talked about sanity and getting out of some of those cycles of insanity. And so now we find ourselves, actually a couple weeks ago, Pastor Bill taught on the turn lesson where we introduce step three. And so that's where we're at today with our current lesson. So let's just take a look at our guiding principle, principle three, which reads, consciously choose to commit all my life and will to Christ's care and control. And the beatitude that goes with that is happier the meek, Matthew 5:5. Our step three, we made a decision to turn our lives and our wills over to the care of God. I just mentioned that's one of my struggles. Romans 12:1 supports this step by saying, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And that word act is appropriate, because while the first two steps and the first two principles are more internal, more thought-based, more contemplative in nature, as we move into step three, we're talking about moving out and getting external, and we're talking about taking action. Step three is an action-oriented step. If you just look at what they say, the step and the principles, we made a decision. We're having to do something to turn our wills and our lives over. So once again, a doing thing. Consciously choose to commit. So we're now in the stage of doing instead of just thinking. And so as we look at steps three and principle three, we talk about them being action steps. And so is it a coincidence that tonight's acrostic is action? I think not. And just for those of you that may be new here, one of the standard formats that we use in teaching is to take a word, in this case tonight, action, and we create an acrostic with it. So in your handout, if you've got one, you'll notice the word action is spelled out for you, and you've got some blanks to fill in. And as I'm teaching tonight, you may want to take some notes and jot some things down, highlight some things that speak to you as we look at how action and taking action comes into play in our recovery. James says it pretty well in 1:22. He says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. So if we're not, it's great to read the scripture. It's great to meditate on the scripture. It's great to discuss the scripture. But if we're not living the scripture, we are not in faith, in my opinion. And same thing with recovery. If we are not doing recovery, I say recovery is a verb. It requires action. It requires things that we do. And if we are not in action in our recovery, I believe we're not really in recovery. So let's take a look at what we mean when we talk about this action step. So the first action that we need to take, or the A in the acrostic tonight, is accept Jesus as our higher power. Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with that person, and they with me. So what do we need to do to open that door? What does opening that door look like for us? So how do we open that door? How do we accept Jesus as our higher power? Well, actually, it's fairly simple. Romans 10:9 gives us just a nice way to do this, or a perfect example of this. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And believe it or not, it really is that simple. Sometimes we want to make it more complex than that, but it really is that simple. It's not it. You're not done, but it is that simple. The next thing we would need to do as we're moving through our acrostic tonight is the C, is to commit to start following his will. To commit to start following his will. And this is actually pretty simple from the standpoint of, okay, I'm going to commit to do it. There you go, check that off. Is it easy? Absolutely not. So simple but not easy. And it's the primary reason why I am still here at Celebrate Recovery after 8 years. I've got a little over 7 years, I think, of sobriety under my belt. I quit drinking, in other words, about 7 years ago. So if I was coming to CR just to quit drinking, I could have stopped 7 years ago. But I'm still here because the idea of committing to following his will versus mine is what needs work, what keeps me coming back. And I think it's one of the areas where we can broaden this ministry and talk to those that may not be like me and have an addiction, but are they following God's will and everything in their life, or maybe they need some assistance with that. So easy, I'm simple, but not easy. And so you see, in principle three, we need to kind of change that definition of willpower. So instead of willpower being it's all me, it's all you, that type of thing, we're going to change it to the willingness to accept God's power to guide our lives. So it needs to be God's will that powers our lives, not me willing my life to be whatever it is. So we need to use God's will to power our lives. If we are full of only ourselves, there isn't any room for God. And that's a mind-blowing thought for me, that me, Jack, in Tualatin, could push away, could exclude the creator of the universe simply by being so full of myself. And this was one of the main reasons why in my early recovery, not here at CR, but years ago when I tried various programs and was an atheist and was full of me, I just had a hard time with that idea of turning over. There was no room to turn over anything to anybody. I had it all handled. It was all me. And it wasn't until I got that concept of being so full of me, there was no room for anybody to turn over anything to, that things changed in my recovery. So we accept Jesus as our higher power. Then we commit to asking for and following his will. Next, we need to, the T, turn it over. You've heard it before. You'll hear it again. It's recovery. Let go and let God. Proverbs 3:6 says, in all your ways submit to him and he will make your path straight. In all your ways. So not just the big stuff. In all your ways. The small stuff, at two. In all your ways. All your stuff. Now that verse is, to me, both terrifying and exhilarating. The terrifying part, all my ways, everything, all, I like some of my character defects, thank you very much. All my ways. The making my path straight, ooh, I like that. Can we just keep part B and get rid of part A, all my ways? I want to read to you just a little bit from C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity, because I think he does a great job kind of talking about this idea of all my ways and path straight, that kind of, at least for me, speaking to that terror and that excitement. He writes in Mere Christianity, dozens of people go to him, God, to be cured of some one particular sin which they are ashamed of, or which is obviously spoiling daily life, like a bad temper or drunkenness. Well, he will cure it all right, but he will not stop there. That may be all you asked, but once you call him in, he is going to give you the full treatment. Make no mistake, he says, speaking as if he's God. If you let me, I will make you perfect. The moment you put yourself in my hands, that is what you are in for, nothing less or other than that. You have free will, and if you choose, you can push me away. But if you do not push me away, understand I am going to see this job through. And he goes on to say, I will never rest nor let you rest until you are literally perfect, until my Father can say without reservation that he is well pleased with you, as he said he was well pleased with me. This I can do and will do, but I will not do anything less. So that's a scary part to me. That's serious, all me. But then he goes on to say, and yet this is the other and equally important side of it. The helper, who he refers to as, that's how he refers to Jesus here, the helper who will in the long run be satisfied with nothing less than absolute perfection will also be delighted with the first feeble, stumbling effort that you make. So that I can rest in. I just think that's a great way to look at that. Another way that Jesus kind of puts this as far as helping us, in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, he says, come to me and I will give you rest, all of you who work so hard beneath a heavy yoke. Wear my yoke, for it fits perfectly. And let me teach you, for I am gentle and humble, and you shall find rest for your souls. So don't get overwhelmed at that idea of this is a process, I guess is the important. And part of that helping you to maybe not feel overwhelmed is the I in the word action, and that is it's just the beginning, or it's only the beginning. So let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. Recovery is not a three-principle program, okay? It's not a three-step process. There's more. So don't get overwhelmed with this idea of absolutes and all. That perfection is going to come, likely not while we're on the planet. Okay, but still, he's serious about it. As it says in Philippians 1:6, God who began the good work within you will keep right on helping you, there's that word again, grow in his grace until his task within is finally finished. So just kind of a shorter way of saying what C.S. Lewis spent some time on. So at this point in our teaching and series and step studies, we've only just begun the recovery journey. I've been attending CR for roughly 8 years, I said, and I still feel sometimes like I'm just beginning. Sometimes that's frustrating, sometimes that's refreshing. I remember when Michael was teaching a month or so ago, he was kind of shared the same sentiment. And last week, I think it was, he took a 16-year coin. And so that feeling, I think, is actually healthy. I think if we're still feeling from time to time like we're just beginning or we're still struggling with this or that, that we're open to change, we're open to that transformation. And I think that's positive. We're open to improvement. But another key way in recovery to avoid getting overwhelmed, getting too far ahead of ourselves, is another tried and true recovery saying, and that is one day at a time. And that's the O in our acrostic tonight in action, one day at a time. In Matthew 6:34, it says, don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of your tomorrow too. Live one day at a time. I like just one of the notes that it has here in the leader's guide for this lesson. It says our recoveries happen one day at a time. If we remain stuck in yesterday or constantly worry about tomorrow, we're going to waste today. We're going to waste the moments today. And it's only today or the present that we can change. We cannot change yesterday, and we can't change the future. We can pray about it, but we can't change it. So don't get lost and don't miss the moment today, okay? So that brings us to the final letter in our acrostic tonight, the N. The N stands for next step or next steps. The next step is to ask Jesus into your life to be your higher power. Now, many of us in this room tonight have already done that, but some of you may have not, and tonight may be the night you do that. Others of us, as we've been kind of thinking about maybe some of the things I've shared with you in this lesson, might be kind of wondering, okay, is Jesus really my higher power? Have I really committed to that level? And so I'm going to ask you four simple questions to clarify this decision, if you made one tonight, or to kind of clarify your position as far as where you are with this. If you answer yes to these four questions, we're going to pray at the end of this. And if you answer yes to these four questions and pray the prayer that I'm going to pray for you out loud, you're at the next step. You will have accepted Christ as your higher power. So the four questions that I have for you, you would ask yourself, one, do I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me and showed that he was God by coming back to life? Number two, do I accept God's forgiveness for my sins, all my sins? Number three, do I begin to switch to God's plan for my life and move away from my plan, use his will, his power? And number four, do I express my desire for Christ to be the director of my life? So if you said yes in your head to those four questions, you're on your way down that road to the next step. If you're ready to take this next step, let me just pray about that. Heavenly Father, there are some here this evening that need to make that decision, that need to make that decision to commit their lives into your hands, to ask you into their hearts as their Lord and as their Savior. I ask that you give them the courage to silently do so right now, right at this moment. Lord, I do believe that this is the most important decision that they will ever make. Now, if you made that decision, I want you to pray this following in your heart as I pray it aloud. Pretty simple. Father, I believe you sent your son Jesus to die for my sins so I can be forgiven. Father, I'm sorry for my sins, and I want to live the rest of my life the way you want me to. Please put your spirit in my life and direct me. Amen. So, action. Recovery is a verb. Jesus is in Celebrate Recovery is our higher power. I mentioned to you earlier, that wasn't always the case with me, and that wasn't the case with me when I started attending Celebrate Recovery. And while I do truly pray that you, if Jesus was not your higher power before you walked into the door, that you made that decision tonight. If you did, tell somebody. I'd like to know. I'll be up here after this large group setting. Anybody you see with one of these white lanyards and name badges on is a leader in our group. They'd love to hear from you as well. Share that information. Because a lot of times we get to, in our faith, well, what's the next step? Okay? And we want to be able to help and support you in that. But as I mentioned, when I walked through those doors, that wasn't me. I didn't know what I believed. I was pretty sure I didn't believe in God, but I didn't know what else I didn't believe. And so, if you didn't make that decision tonight, I ask that you keep coming back. Because God is at work in you. You're here for a reason. I truly believe that. And I just want to honor that reason. And I want to honor your presence here and thank you for having the courage to walk through those doors and just check us out. Thanks for letting me share tonight.